So the book of Jude tonight, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to share God's Word and just share what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is the topic of truth. The topic of truth. You know, I don't believe that we have ever seen truth under attack more than any other time than today. Whether it just be through a blatant malicious deception, or whether it just be through misinformation and just people being misguided, I believe that truth is under attack and God commands us to contend for the faith. Jesus asks us to really, what that word to contend means, to grapple with or to wrestle for or to contend for, to strive for the faith. We mean by the faith is really all that we know about the Christian faith, which is found in the Word of God. All about what we believe in who God is. You know, truth is very, very important. I asked the teenagers the question this morning in Sunday school, how many of your parents have ever driven in the wrong direction for an extended amount of time? So some of you parents were told on this morning. But we were talking about, you know, I would consider myself to be a little bit directionally challenged. Sometimes. Some of you asked me, which route did you take? Did you take this highway or this highway? And I probably looked at you with a confused face and said, I went wherever my GPS told me to go. But you know, direction is important. Where you're traveling and knowing which way to go is very, very vital to your destination. You know, one of the oldest tools to find direction, it's especially useful in a situation where maybe you don't have cell service, is a compass. I've never personally had to use a compass, but I do know that people have used compasses for generations. However, did you know that compasses don't, in fact, lead to true north? By that word, true north is the most northern point on the map. Because the way compasses work, it works just off of magnetics. And so it's focusing towards the Earth's gravitational pull. That was the word I was looking for. Towards the gravitational pull of the Earth, it points kind of north, but it doesn't point exactly true north. Not only that, but when you're using a compass, there are a number of objects that can throw it off. Such as watches, keys, metal tables, cell phones, electric power lines, and even some magnetic rocks. They make it so you could be looking at that compass and you could be walking, following, oh man, I'm heading north, you're going at least the right direction. And all of a sudden, maybe you find yourself between some magnetic rocks, and all of a sudden the compass starts spinning around, pointing different directions, and you're looking at, man, is this thing broken? But really, it's just thrown off by something else's gravitational pull. You know, now to the majority of us, finding true north on a compass may not be that important. But finding true north in life is of the utmost importance. And what I mean by that is not necessarily in the idea of which way to go physically, but of what truth to live by daily. You see, God's Word is our compass for life. And it always points down the road of true life that Jesus has given us in righteousness. And God's Word is the most pure and most absolute sense of truth. And truth in our direction of life is of the utmost importance. Because truth is what we use to give us direction every single day. But as I started with, truth is under attack today. You know, we live in a world that wants to throw doubt on God's Word. We live in a world that wants to pervert God's truth and that wants to lead people away to man's ideas. Society continually pushes the idea that there is no absolute truth, but rather you can make your own truth. What often happens is we stand here sometimes with the compass of the Word of God. And we're looking which way to go and how to live each day. But we're surrounded either by false teachers trying to water down the truth. We're surrounded by a world questioning and discrediting God's Word. And we have a deceitful, sinful heart trying to avoid what God has for us. In our mind, we're not sure which way to go. But be reminded tonight that the Word of truth always points in the right direction. And while we follow God's word, we are facing the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil to throw us off of the truth. Well, how should we react to all of these pressures? Trying to confuse, trying to deceive, trying to water down the truth of God's word. Well, if you're in the book of Jude, let's begin reading in verse number 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." This servant of the Lord by the name of Jude says, "I'm trying to write to you just about something common, something to you that is very clear in the revelation of God. But I want you to understand what Jude is saying is that I felt it was needful to encourage you that there are people who are creeping in, whether it be into the church, whether it be into society, or wherever it may be, that are trying to deceive you and teach a truth that in fact is not the truth, but falsehood about God's word." And tonight, as we look at the book of Jude, I want to look at the three places in our lives that we need to fight for truth. And if there's one thing that I hope we'll get tonight from God's word, is that we must not be on the defense when it comes to truth, but instead we must be proactive in fighting for the truth of God's word. Now, what does it mean to fight? What does it mean to contend? Obviously, we're not talking about a physical warfare, but this friend, it means to struggle, to vie, or to strive for. It means to grapple or to wrestle for. It means to earnestly struggle for the truth of what God's Word teaches. In high school, I worked at a Christian camp for a summer, and I remember one of our favorite activities up in the large dorm space all of us high school guys were in, we had, was wrestling. Now, of course, this was not sanctioned by the camp. It was something we did of our own volition. But we were up there, and I remember we'd have a good time, and we'd talk to one another, we'd hang out, maybe we'd get a little bit bored in the afternoon. So what would we do? We'd grab those thin mattresses, we'd throw them on the ground, and we'd start wrestling. We'd start going at it. And there would be about 20, 30 of us teenage guys up in this room, and there'd be two guys right there in the middle on the mattresses, and they would be throwing down wrestling. And I remember we probably were not the smartest, but instead of wrestling for the pin, we would always wrestle for somebody else to tap out. And I remember I had a few of my friends that I would wrestle, and I remember we'd get in there and we'd grapple, we'd fight for position, we'd pull, we'd shove, we'd try to get a hold of the person that was trying to beat us. And I remember wrestling a friend named Chuck, and I had him in a headlock, and I had him good, and I was getting him, and I had him there, and I remember he stopped moving. And I was looking at Chuck, and I was getting a little nervous because he hadn't tapped out yet. And at the same time, he was not really doing a whole lot. And so I let go of him. I let go of him, and he turned around. And before I knew it, he had me in a headlock. And I tapped about 2 minutes later. You know, the problem that I had with that wrestling match that I lost that day was that I stopped wrestling to win. I gave up. I was there and I had him in good position. I was there and it looked like I had the bead on my friend and it looked like I was going to win, but I let up just a little bit and he won. You know, as we wrestle for truth today, as we look at this concept of what it means to contend for the faith, is that there's all these ideologies. There's all this philosophy of the world. There are these false teachers that would seek to water down God's Word. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to contend by preaching the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by teaching the Word of God, as so to combat the false teachers of today. You know, every group is trying to push their viewpoint. Everyone is trying to push their own agenda and their perspective into your life. The news and talk shows are trying to tell you what's important and how to think. Social media is trying to tell all of your kids what's acceptable, what's fun, and what's good. Your workplace tries to tell you what your priorities should be. And constantly, in the battle of everyday living, the devil is flinging his fiery darts of doubt of God's Word against you. And your flesh is trying to deceive you to do what feels good. And all of us are in this battle for truth every single day. And God tells us to contend. God does not call us as Christians to be on the defense and to sit on the back line and just wait. But instead, God tells us to get in the thick of this fight by understanding, by knowing, and by sharing the truth of God's Word. Well, what is that truth? As I said before, it is the faith. It is the whole of Christianity. It is all of the understandings, the teachings, and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He has told us to do. And what God is saying in this small verse of Jude is that we may be surrounded by all kinds of influences, trying to throw our compass off of true north. But get back to fighting for true north, which is God's Word. Now, why should we contend for the faith? Well, we'll look at verse 4 again. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares. There were some men who had snuck in without being noticed, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." It's saying, before, in the time past, you knew openly that they were ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Jude's day, there was these men coming into churches and they were teaching this concept of cheap grace. They were teaching that God has grace, so therefore because of God's grace, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you live, in essence, you can do whatever you want. And don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. And while God is loving, and God is gracious, and God is kind, and God is merciful, that is a terrible philosophy of God's grace to have. It cheapens and it abuses what God teaches about His grace. They were coming in and nobody had quite noticed until their teaching gave them away. Not only that, but it says that they were denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These false teachers were not only teaching to corrupt God's grace, but teaching to avoid calling Jesus Lord. They were avoiding calling Him God, and they were denying who Jesus was. They were teaching their own selfish motives. You know, God's Word says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And these false teachers were coming in and teaching, do whatever you want, and there's not really any consequences because of God's grace. But this truth quickly can be dispelled by the truth of God's Word. You know, today there are false teachers. There are those that write books. There are those that maybe would have their own television program that would seek to try to teach you God's Word in one way or another. But they corrupt God's Word with things like Calvinism, with things like the prosperity gospel, with things like covenant theology or cheap grace, as we talked about. And in so doing, they undermine and attack the truth of God's Word. They teach things that would be incorrect about God's Word. And it's so subtle. And it's so sneaky. But what it causes us to do is lose focus of what God's Word actually says. And God tells us to wrestle with those things. That when we hear the false teachers of the world, that when we hear maybe some of the false teachers that have infiltrated Christianity, that we're supposed to take God's Word and God's truth and we're supposed to search it so that we can analyze the false teaching and say that's wrong. Instead, we're going to follow God's Word. There's a reason to contend for the faith. Not only that, but look in verse 5. It says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, how though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Jude here, he just kind of counteracts a little bit of this false teaching of cheap grace. He goes and he counteracts and he says, you know what? There were the children of Israel who disobeyed God and they were judged for it. There were the angels in heaven who rebelled against God and they one day will be judged for it. There were Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them who explicitly disobeyed God, and they were judged for it. It says these filthy dreamers that do the same, that one day they will be judged for it. In verse 14 it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. God gives us throughout this book a little bit of a warning. Beware of these false teachers. Beware of these people that come in and they may have flowery speech. They may have charisma. They may have status. But if they're teaching us something other than God's Word, it is not okay. We're to beware of the false teaching of men. Beware of false doctrine. Because God will judge those who teach falsely, but God will also judge those who live according to the sins of rejecting God. What are we to do? We are to contend for the faith. We are to wrestle, we are to battle, because those false teachers, those deceivers, those perverters of the truth of God's Word are out there right now. And they're going to try to sway us. And God told Jude, and God tells us, battle with God's Word. Hey, read and study the Word of God. The best way to know something that is untrue and something that is fake is to shed God's light of truth upon it. Now, where I want to spend the majority of my message is that I don't believe Jude and the Holy Spirit was telling these group of people this letter was written to, and is telling us necessarily to fight for truth, maybe on the big platforms of life, even though that may be important. I don't believe necessarily that he was telling them to fight for truth, you know, on Facebook. I don't believe that he was telling them to fight for truth verbally and antagonistically, and to go and to have physical altercations. But I believe he was telling them to fight for truth in three specific instances. Number one, tonight, in their personal lives. Paul said in 2 Timothy 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, speaking about us individually, about putting on the whole armor of God. God says, having therefore your loins girt about with truth. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The priority for us to contend for the faith. The admonition that we are given to fight for truth is a personal battle that all of us must undertake by studying God's Word. Because where deceit comes is not necessarily going to be, or it's going to be obvious in the big areas of life. But where the subtle little deceit, like these that have crept in unawares, is going to be in your own personal battles of your mind, of false teachers, of vain philosophies of this world. And the devil is going to attack, the devil is going to try to deceive, our flesh is going to lie to us, and just like Adam and Eve, the devil is going to say something like, did God really say that? Hey, is that really what God meant? The attack on truth begins in our minds, hearts, and lives of every person sitting here. And you have to contend for the faith in your own life. Those that are not grounded in truth will not be able to stand the teachings of false teachers. Those like a tree that has not been rooted and built up in Christ will be easily swayed with every wind of doctrine. Those that do not know what God's Word really says and what God's Word really teaches will be quick to be deceived by false teachers. And so our responsibility is to study. Our responsibility is to read. Our responsibility is to be in God's house and hear God's Word and to look at it and to read it and to try to understand it, to wrestle with it, so that when the false teachers come, we can quickly identify things that are not true. You know, I like to travel, and personally, I enjoy riding on airplanes. The first time I rode on an airplane, I think I was 15 years old, and I remember being so concerned about everything. I was flying by myself. I was flying from Fresno, California to Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember I was getting on the plane, and I was looking at everything. And you know, when you're 15 years old, and it's your first time flying, you don't quite understand everything. So I go in there, and I sit down, I get in my seat, I buckle my seatbelt, and I grab that pamphlet that is right in that pocket. And I started studying the emergency protocols, like my life may depend upon it. And I was looking, I'm looking underneath the seat, see, was this thing really a flotation device? And looking at all these different aspects of a flight. You know, I was really concerned about it. So I was studying that pamphlet, trying to remember things, looking at it. I was a little bit nervous. Now I remember, you know, everybody gets seated and they start closing all the overhead bins, and then the stewardess comes and she gets, you know, the seat belt and she tells you how to clip in your seat belt. I'm looking, I'm watching this lady, and I am hanging on every single word that she is telling me. Why? Because I thought it was going to be important. And as I was sitting there, one phrase always stands out to me about their little, you know, 5-minute jingle about safety. Is when that mask, they say, if that mask has to come down and the cabin loses air pressure, they say, put on your own mask and then help somebody else put on theirs. You know, I'm reminded that as Christians, you know, we want to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm reminded of how many of you parents want to help your kids to walk in the way of God's Word. And you grandparents want to help your grandparents to walk in the light of God's truth. But we can't help them until we first have spent time studying and knowing and wrestling and understanding and learning what God's Word teaches. We have to earnestly contend for the faith, first of all, in our own lives. We're supposed to cling to God's Word. Fight to know the truth and fight to live out the truth of God's Word. Wrestle with the questions that you may have. Wrestle with the doubts that you might experience. Wrestle with the philosophy of the world that maybe is bombarding you, and maybe the deceit of your own heart, the things that come up in your own life. But I urge you, as you wrestle with those things, wrestle with them in light of God's Word. Far too often there are Christians that have doubts. There are Christians that have questions. There are Christians that experience, you know what, I don't quite understand what that means. Maybe the philosophy of the world is right. But unfortunately, what many don't do is get into God's Word to seek truth. Sometimes they get wrapped up into listening to a preacher that's a false teacher. Sometimes they just get wrapped up into listening to the philosophy of the world. Sometimes they trust maybe their own heart. You know, God says that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. What we must do as we contend for the faith is spend time in God's Word. Number one, as you contend for the faith in your own personal life, but number two, in your family's lives. If you have your Bible, turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. We think of contending for the faith. I hear this phrase oftentimes, and I'm sure many of you have heard this as well, but I've heard many people say, I would hate to grow up in this world today. I've heard many people say, I feel bad for the kids and teenagers that are growing up right now, and they talk maybe about all the struggles, all of just the philosophy of this world. They're talking just about all the difficult ways of growing up, just all of the sin that runs in our society. And I hear that phrase, I would hate to grow up right now. Well, no, your kids are growing up right now. What they need is guidance through God's Word. Because let me tell you, when you look around at the sin of the world and you say, man, that would be terrible to experience. Let me tell you, it is rough to experience. It is rough to grow up in a world where sin is constantly bombarding you every single day. And so what do we have to do? What's going to be our response to the world's philosophy and to the false teaching that may be out there each day? Maybe to the things that the kids look at on social media and it's just talking about wrong views of God and His Word. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? We have to contend for the faith in the lives of our families. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And he goes through and he tells them just the commandments and some of the things they're supposed to do. And look at verse 5. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gates. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I like what Joshua said in Joshua 24, as for me, in my house we will serve the Lord. You know, I know many of you realize the worldly influences that are out there that are affecting the next generation. But how do we contend for truth? I like this passage in Deuteronomy because it says, talk about God's Word. It says, spend time at home reading the Bible, talking about the Bible. As you're going by the wayside, put it up somewhere where you can read it. Look at it on your hand. What? Spend time knowing the truth of what God says. And He places a specific emphasis in doing it at home. D.L. Moody, the old famous evangelist, said, I believe the family was established long before the church, and my duty is to my family first. I am not to neglect my family. Another preacher said, a family is a place where principles are hammered and honed on the anvil of everyday living, the principles of God's Word. Your family, after your own relationship with God, should be one of the most important things in your life. Are you contending for truth in your home? Are you contending for truth by studying God's Word with your spouse? Are you contending for truth by talking to your kids about God's Word each day? Do you sit at the dinner table and talk maybe about a verse that affected your life? Do you have family devotions? When you see your grandkids, do you tell them a little bit about what God has been doing in your life recently? Are we contending for truth by speaking God's Word and speaking God's truth day in and day out? Are we allowing all of the different influences of this world to crowd their minds, to infiltrate their hearts, and to affect their lives? There was a famous evangelist who preached and traveled all over the world. He saw hundreds of people saved and saw countless lives changed. But he had to live with at least one regret: that his own children turned away from following God and lived the lives of drunkards. I know a preacher who lives today who runs a large Christian camp. And he says, "I will lose this camp. And I will lose everything else in my life before I lose my family." There are two totally different philosophies in that aspect. And I appreciate the man that I know, the preacher that I know, who says, "I'm going to invest God's Word into my family before I invest God's Word anywhere else." Are you battling for truth in your home? Let me tell you, this phone, it can give kids a lot of information really, really quick. A lot of misinformation sometimes. A lot of other people's perspectives. If your kids are in school, they're probably getting about 8 hours a day of somebody else's mind. They hang out with their friends, they're probably getting another few hours every day of somebody else's philosophy. If they're on social media and they're using their phone or playing video games or watching movies, that's another few hours of the world's influence on their lives. But how much are you giving them God's truth? So important. It's important for yourself, but it's also important for your family. We should contend for God's truth in our own life, in the lives of our family, but also in our church. I believe the main area that Jude was encouraging us to battle for truth is in the life of our local church. In Ephesians 4:11 through 15, it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Why? Verse 14 says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ." 2 Timothy 3, in verse 10, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch." He's saying, you know my life. And in verse 13, he says, "Through all the things that I've been through, all the persecution," in verse 13, Paul says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And for that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The book of 3 John, chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I'm thankful to be a part of a church where our pastor preaches truth, even when it's difficult. I'm thankful that there are a lot of wonderful Sunday school teachers that teach God's truth and that expose error. I'm thankful that there's some great kids programs, whether it's master clubs or a junior church, and these different things that teach God's truth. and our responsibility as Christians and just contending for the faith in our own church is to be here and to learn more about God's Word. It's to beware of false doctrine. It's to be on the lookout for teaching that, you know what, maybe it's not what God's Word says. It's also to speak truth in love to one another. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Pillar and ground, it means to prop up, to hold up and to support. So we as a church are to prop up and support God's truth. We're supposed to do that individually as well as a church. You know, in Life C, our church is not to be like maybe a boat club shop where people come to socialize and customize their life with the frills of just luxury. But our church is to be the lighthouse that stands tall, shines bright, and lights the truth for every weary soul. To know the way of truth, which is God's Word. So as a church, we must battle, we must contend to force out false doctrine, to preach and teach against false ideologies and philosophies. It means that we loudly and clearly as a church proclaim the true Word of God. You know, I struggle with reading or watching the news. Maybe you struggle with reading or watching the news. Why? Because I'll watch it and I'll hear one idea, then I'll hear a totally different idea. I'll see one perspective that gives one characterization or some facts about a story, and then I'll read and hear something else that gives a totally different story. And the reason I struggle with the news or with watching or reading it is because I struggle with knowing what is actually true. Why? Because I'm hearing two different stories. In a world where we allow the world's influences and the vain philosophies of men, in a world where maybe we listen to false doctrine just about as much as we listen to God's Word, we will struggle to know the truth. So as Christians, our responsibility is to contend for the faith, to contend and fight for truth personally every day by reading and studying God's Word. We're supposed to contend for the faith and to fight for the truth by talking about God's Word in our homes, by studying it together, and as a church, by speaking the truth to one another. Why? Because false teaching could get in so quick. Now, I know over the last few months or so, I have been surprised at the amount of error that I've seen, not from anybody in here, but whether it be from friends that I grew up with, whether it just be from social media in general, seeing just the twisting of God's Word, seeing just the philosophy of the world put onto God's Word where it's not true, seeing the doubt of Jesus Christ and who He is, seeing the Word of God just blasphemed and gone against, and that is common in today's world. We're not necessarily to cower against it. We're not to sit back and let it idly go by. But instead, we are to know and share the truth. Because God has asked us to earnestly contend for the faith. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, we love You. And Lord, I thank You for the challenge of Your Word. God, the challenge to me, Lord, I need that. Lord, to contend for the faith. Lord, to wrestle with the truth, God. Lord, to have the truth, to hold it, to stand fast by it. And Lord, to know it, to understand it, to study it. So that we can avoid false doctrine, so that we can avoid the philosophies of the world, Lord, so that we can be protected. Lord, I know that Your desire for us, Lord, is that not that we would be swayed or turned away by false doctrine, but that we would know and follow the truth of Your Word. I pray that You would help us to do so, Lord, every day in our personal lives, in our homes, in this church. Pastor.